Thank you, men, very much. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 3, the book of Matthew chapter 3. Congratulations to Brother and Mrs. Seaman. Amen. Isn't that great? Now, that's just his preference and his opinion that he didn't look old enough to be a grandfather and all this. I didn't say anything. I just said his opinion, right? Yes. Now, you know he'd say the same thing about me. Come on now. Sure. I'm waiting for a step stool to be put right behind this pulpit because I know it's going to happen, and now it's really going to happen, right, Brother Gary? No doubt about it. Sure, we appreciate Brother Gary. Amen. And what a great job he's done here down through the years and still doing it. His precious wife still putting up with him, all that kind of stuff. May the Lord bless her, you know. We have a great time around Buffalo Ridge. You ought to be here during the week, no doubt about it. And it's sweet to have unity among the staff. Praise God for that, you know. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1. Probably will not get done tonight. I know I say that most of the time, but I probably won't. I may. It just depends. We'll just dive in and see where the Lord stops us here, okay? Matthew chapter 3. This is our New Testament book that we're studying through, the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. In other words, if you'd have seen him walking up to your house, you probably wouldn't have opened the front door, I guess is what it's saying there, okay? Verse 5, Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able to these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. If you have a habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the three words in verse number 1. It's the words John the Baptist. John the Baptist. We're going to begin this message. May get through it, but probably will not. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray for this message that you'll use it in a great way. Thank you for how you've used it in my own heart and life. And I pray, God, as we do this Bible study through the book of Matthew, and as we come to this chapter, that you'll help us to understand what you're saying. Lord, I understand that you've already said what you mean and you meant what you said. It's not my job to add to it or take away from it. Just simply open it and say, Thus saith the Lord. And I pray that you help me to be faithful in that. God, you know my heart. I praise you for your word. I praise you for your goodness in my life. Thank you for your sweet grace and mercy. Thank you for the example of John the Baptist. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This story of John the Baptist is found here in Matthew. It's also found in Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, and John chapter 1. In our study through the book of Matthew, we've come to this chapter 3. In the opening 12 verses of this chapter, we have a man named John the Baptist that's introduced for our consideration. Now, I've decided that as we come to a portion of Scripture in Matthew that's dealt with in other Gospels, I'm going to deal with all four of them, or all two of them, or all three of them at the same time. In other words, I'm not going to preach on this when I get to Luke. I'm going to preach on it now so we can get the whole picture, the whole thing, you understand. Now, that being the case, the first chapter of Luke tells us that John was born to Zacharias and Elizabeth. And the Bible says that these folks were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. The angel appeared to Zacharias and told him that his prayer was heard, and he and his wife were going to have a baby boy to name John. Then the angel of the Lord said that John would be great in the sight of the Lord,
As a matter of fact, Jesus said concerning John in Luke chapter 7, verse 28, he said, among those that are born of women, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. This is a wonderful statement considering all the Old Testament prophets that had been before on the scene, such as Elijah and Daniel and Elisha and on, and yet Jesus said, there is nobody greater than John the Baptist. Now we see that John was the last of the Old Testament prophets and was a first cousin to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had his raiment, his clothing of camel's hair and a leathern girdle and ate locusts and wild honey. In this we see his simplicity and how he did not care for the luxuries of this world. And folks, may I say in the same way, let us not get caught up in the luxuries of this world, but let us be consumed with the will of God for our lives. Now this being the case, I want to bring out three things about John the Baptist. And again, we're going to be looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want you to stay in Matthew, and I'm going to turn to the other passages. But first of all, I want you to notice John the Baptist's prophecy. We see this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. Look at it. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Don't turn to it. Stay right there and wait on me. Mark chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says this, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In Luke chapter 3, verses 3 and following, the word of God says this. It says, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And it goes on to say, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough valley shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now I'm telling you, the first thing we notice about John the Baptist is his prophecy. What I mean by that is this, we see that a prophecy was given concerning him in the Old Testament. We see that he is the one that was spoken of in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 3, which says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Luke adds to this prophecy by adding the references of Isaiah 44 and 5, where it says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. In all of this, the first thing I want you to notice about John the Baptist is we see that he and his birth was a literal fulfillment of these Old Testament prophecies given over 700 years before. This again goes to show the accuracy of the Word of God. God's Word said that this voice would come, and it happened in the life of John the Baptist. This is emphasized again in John's gospel, which put it this way, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This verifies the prophecy given also in Malachi 3:1, which reads, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek out shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. The first thing we notice about John the Baptist is we notice his prophecy that God prophesied that he would be born. And he was born just like God prophesied. And in that we see the accuracy of the precious Word of God. Aren't you glad this book is true tonight? Aren't you glad? Listen to me, folks. Only God could prophesy 700 years prior that a man was going to be sent by God whose name was John. The second thing I want you to see with me, number one is prophecy, but number two, let's notice his purpose. Now, I told you I wasn't going to have you turn, but I need to have you do it this time only. Turn over to the book of John with me just a minute, John chapter 1. Now, keep in mind that Matthew chapter 3, Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, and John chapter 1, just certain portions of these chapters deal with the same thing. It's dealing with the coming of John the Baptist, the birth of him, who he was, what his purpose was. The first thing we've noticed is his prophecy. Isaiah prophesied it. Malachi prophesied it. Number two, we're looking at his purpose. Look at John chapter 1, beginning with verse number 7. Well, let's just look at verse number 6 again. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came, get it now, here's his purpose, for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, notice it's capitalized, talking about the Lord, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Look at verse number 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, as we think about John the Baptist, we not only see his prophecy in the Old Testament, but we also see his purpose in life. See, in these verses in John's gospel, we see the reason he came into this world was to be a witness to the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that his purpose in life was to bear witness of the light of the Lord Jesus, that all men might be saved. In a nutshell, we see the purpose of John the Baptist was to point people away from himself and to point them to the lovely Lord Jesus. I'm telling you here, folks, that in this, he was pointing them to the one who could take their sin away. And in John chapter 1, verse 15, we see John fulfilled his purpose, that he did exactly what God said he was coming for. He was coming to bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So guess what John did? He bore witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to you that in the same way tonight, we who are saved have this same purpose. We have the same purpose that John the Baptist had. It has been said that there are two things that one can do on this earth that they cannot do in heaven. And those two things are sin and win souls to Jesus Christ. The reason that you can do it here and not do it there is because there is no sin up there. Somebody ought to say glory right there. Number two, there are no lost people there. Listen, you're not going to have soul winning booths. Everybody up there is saved. So if there's two things on earth that we can do that we cannot do there, and those two things are sin and win people to Christ, which one of those two do you think God left you here to do? Sin? I don't think so. You know what it is? To bear witness of that light. He is the light of the world, the Bible says, and I'm telling you that our purpose in life is to simply bear witness to the light that all men might be saved. Now, I'm telling you, it's interesting that Jesus called himself in John 8:12. He said, I'm the light of the world. And this light in John chapter 1 is the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is in darkness. They are looking for light. You and I know who that light is. It's Jesus. So our purpose in life is to bear witness of the light of the world. Our purpose in life is it basically is just to be a reflector, if you will. When they look at us, we point them to Christ. They look at us, we point them to Christ. Let me ask you, are you fulfilling your purpose in life? John did. They even came to John and said, are you Christ? He said, no, I'm not. Because there's one coming after me whose latchet of his shoes I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloose. You know what John the Baptist's purpose was? To tell people who Jesus is. That's your purpose tonight. That's my purpose tonight. The Bible says in Mark 16, 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. John 15, 16, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. Matthew 28, 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach means win all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Luke 24, 46 to 48, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. I wonder tonight, are you fulfilling your God-given purpose of bearing witness of the Lord Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world? You know, we're hypocrites if we don't do this. I'll tell you why. If you're saved tonight, you and I are a hypocrite if we don't tell somebody else about the Lord. Because the only reason you are saved is because some Christian fulfilled their purpose in your life. Somebody got the gospel to you. Whether it was a preacher preaching a message, somebody knocked on your door, you found the gospel tract, somebody put it out. It's like this, Dr. Clarence Sexton says, every saved person has a human thumbprint upon them. What that means, it doesn't mean that the human saved them, but it means God used a human being to get the gospel message to them. And I still believe that when God said every creature, that's exactly what he meant. I'm telling you that it's God's will that the whole world hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. How's it going to happen? It happens when somebody like John the Baptist says, I have one purpose in life. And you know what that is? It's not me. If anybody had the opportunity to seize a moment for themselves, it was John the Baptist. They thought he was Elijah come back. They thought he was the Messiah. And he could have easily claimed all that for himself. But he realized, that's not why I'm in this earth. I'm in this world to simply point people to Jesus. That's my purpose, and that's yours. Number one, John the Baptist's prophecy. Number two, his purpose. Number three, back in the book of Matthew, this is the point where we may not get through tonight. When you think of John the Baptist, what do you think of? It tells you right here in the opening verse. John the Baptist came what? He came preaching. There's my third point. John the Baptist prophesied over 700 years before in the book of Isaiah, Malachi, other different places, it was fulfilled in the birth of John the Baptist. His purpose was to bear witness of the light that was coming into the world that all men might be saved in John chapter 1. But now we notice number three, his preaching. The Bible says plainly in chapter 3, verse 1, that came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 3 says this. Mark said John preached. Luke said he came into all the country about Jordan preaching. Make no mistakes about it, John the Baptist, my friends, was a preacher. He came on the scene preaching his heart out. And let me pause here and say that God is still pleased with the preaching of his word. I'm telling you tonight that it's God's idea to rear back. I'm talking about and thunder forth the word of God. John the Baptist didn't come as somebody that just gives these ideas or as a philosopher. He came as a preacher. And there are several things that we see about his preaching. But before we get into these things considering his preaching and the importance of it, I want you to see the importance of preaching in the Word of God. Jonah chapter 3, verse 2. God said, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Matthew 4, 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 10, 7, and as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 10, 27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Mark 3, 14, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Mark 16, 15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 5, 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. 1 Corinthians 9, 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Matthew 9, 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. 1 Corinthians 1, 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching is God ordained, and it's His ordained way, major way, main way to get the message of His precious word around the world. And let's notice some things concerning the preaching of John the Baptist. I may only get to one of these, and if I do, that's fine. Number one, there's two major things about his preaching. But the interesting thing is under point two, there's five under that. So stay with me. So just wait on me here. Number one, his preaching, get it now, exalted Christ. His preaching exalted Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hold your place there now. Don't turn with me. Just listen. In Mark chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, and John preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Do you see his heart here? We see this again in Luke chapter 3. Again, just listen to me as I'm turning for time's sake. In John chapter 3, verse number 16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. See, there's a major thought about his preaching that comes out here. His preaching, number one, I've already given it to you, give it to you again. His preaching exalted Christ. Notice in these verses how John the Baptist had one central theme to his preaching. You know what his central theme was? The Lord Jesus. That's what it was. His preaching didn't exalt himself. His preaching didn't exalt his speaking ability. His preaching didn't exalt something. His preaching exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentions in these verses how the Lord Jesus coming after him is mightier than he is. He also mentions how he's not worthy to unloose the latchet of the Lord's shoes. See, this was an act done by a slave when a person would come to the house. When a person would come to the house back in this day, they wore these sandal-like shoes, and a lot of times they had a latchet that would lock it on their foot. And a slave, whenever somebody would come to the house, a slave would bend down and unloose the latchet on their shoe so they could take their shoe off so they could wash their feet. John says this. He said, I'm not even worthy to be a slave to the one who's coming after me. You know, whenever you think about John the Baptist, you think about him leather-tongued. And he was, because he looked the Pharisees and Sadducees later on in the face and said, oh, generation of vipers. Boy, he had some boldness, wouldn't you agree? Amen. But don't ever miss this point. Sure, he was a man full of boldness. But can't you just see his precious thoughts here as he meditates on the coming of the Lord Jesus? And he says, I want everybody to know something. There's coming somebody after me who's better and greater and mightier than I am. And he said, this one coming after me, I'm not even worthy to bend down and take his shoes off his feet. God, give us preachers like that. God, give us Sunday school teachers like that. God, give us bus captains who exalt Christ, exalt the Lord. I'm telling you, he recognizes his own unworthiness to do a service for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's lifting up Christ in his heart, and he's lifting up Christ in his preaching. We see in this in John chapter 1, don't turn to it, but in chapter 1, verse 23, they said, who are you? Who are you, John? Are you Elijah? Are you the Messiah? You know what he said in John chapter 1, verse 23? He said, I'm just a voice. Read it yourself. He said, I'll tell you who I am. He said, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. And he said, I want to tell you something. Jesus is greater than all. And he's coming. And when he comes, I'm not worthy to bow down and remove his shoe. You say, Jody, what's the major thought? I'll tell you what the major thought is. I'm meditating my own heart right now about how good God's been to me. How good's Jesus Christ been to you? You think about the lovely Lord Jesus and how he's blessed your life. I'm thinking about his blessings in my life. I know there's troubles and tribulations. I got bit by a dog yesterday, a Rottweiler. Got me right here. Knocked the fire out of him. He came after me again. I charged him back. All this kind of stuff, you know. Thank the Lord he stopped or had a smackdown right there, you know. I told people when I preach today, if I start barking like a dog, somebody call 911, okay? I know there's trials and tribulations and troubles. But I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about Jesus. Get your thoughts off the world here just a minute. I don't have this in my notes. I'm just trying to follow the Lord here. Get your thoughts off the world, off your troubles just a minute, if it's possible. Get it off of it. Think about Jesus right now in your seat. You thinking about him? How good's he been to you? He died for you. He shed his blood for you. He was buried and rose again for you. He's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high for you. He's interceding evermore for you. He's alive forevermore for you. He's given you eternal life if you trusted him forever, and he's going to let you spend eternity with him, walk on a street of transparent gold. I mean, play hobnob with the angels and all the Old Testament saints and prophets. You'll be able to sit down with Elijah, sit down with Moses, sit down with Daniel, and it's all through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's been good to us. Here's what John the Baptist is saying. He said, I'm getting ready to tell you some things, but before I ever do, I want you to know something. There's one greater than me. There's one mightier than I am. And I'm not worthy to sit down as a slave and remove his shoes. We need that today. You turn on the average television TV religious program and you see if it exalts Christ or exalts man. You know what this church is about? And I want every one of you to understand this. I know every now and then I get in the way. I know every now and then I'm too much in the way, and I understand that. God knows my heart. I'm telling you, God knows my heart. I want Jesus to be lifted up behind this pulpit. I want God to be lifted up in the Sunday school classes. I want Jesus Christ to be lifted up high and holy on the bus routes and on visitation. I'm telling you, when Jesus is lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men to myself. And I'm telling you, the greatest thing you can ever give your life to do is exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. You exalt Christ. So I ask you, in your family, are you exalting him? In your marriage, is Christ exalted? In your own life, is Christ exalted? If you're teaching Sunday school, are you exalting Christ? Or do you think that it's your teaching ability? I'm telling you, if I ever get behind this pulpit in my flesh, it'll show. It will show. And I'm not saying I never get up here in the flesh. There are many times I probably do, and God forgive me for that. But I know I've got a heartbeat to lift up the Lord Jesus. And I hope you do too. First thing we notice about the preaching of John the Baptist, he exalted the Lord. In our preaching, in our teaching, in our living, it should be done in a way that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. We do this by living in obedience to his will. Now, we're only started here. I'm going to come down here with you if you don't mind. Even if you do, I'm still going to do it anyway, right? And I'm telling you, we're doing good on time. Of course, when I say that, you know I'm lying to you, right? Just to make you feel better about it. Here's what I'm saying to you. I didn't think we'd get through the message, and we didn't. We got a lot more to cover about John the Baptist. But I think this is a great stopping point right here. And the great stopping point is this. John the Baptist is on display for us in Matthew chapter 3, Mark chapter 1, Luke chapter 3, John chapter 1. In John the Baptist's life, we're studying it together. We're looking at three things: his prophecy. His coming was prophesied in Isaiah and Malachi, and it was fulfilled in the birth of John the Baptist. We notice his purpose in John chapter 1. Said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he came to bear witness of that light. And the Bible goes on to say he wasn't that light, but he only came to bear witness of that light that all men might be saved. That's our purpose as well. Now we're studying his preaching. The first thing about it is he exalted Christ. You know what the problem is with churches today? You know what the problem is with marriages today? You know what the problem is with individuals today? Teenagers, children, adults, senior saints. You know what the problem is? We've tried to dethrone God. And we've tried to sit on the throne of our own heart. Anytime God tells you to do something, you don't do it. You know what you're saying? You're not worthy. But I'm worthy to do what I want to do. I'm just talking to you tonight because here's my burden for this church. I've got a lot of them. But if I could summarize all the burdens that we have, here it is. Let's lift Jesus up. Let's exalt the Lord. Because when He's exalted, He says, I will do the rest. By the way, He is exalted. Whether you exalt Him or not. But He wants our preaching and our living and our life and our churches to lift Him up. So I close with this thought. Who are you, John? Look at all these things. Look at all these people coming out to you. Are you Elijah? Are you the witnesses that's coming back? Are you the Messiah? Can't you just see Him over here in His tremendous dress clothes that He has on? Can't you just see Him there? He's got a locust in one hand, a grasshopper, and honey in the other one, eating. Thank the Lord we don't have to literally interpret that and apply it to our lives. Amen. But here He is. And look at Him as He makes no hesitation. He looks Him right in the eyeball and He says, I'm not Elijah. I'm not Messiah. I don't want your praise. I'm simply a voice that's crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. And I want to go a step further, and I want to tell you folks something. There's somebody coming right behind me. He's getting ready to step on the scene, folks. There's somebody coming right behind me, and he's mightier than me. And this one that's coming behind me, who's mightier than me, he's got some sandals with a latchet. And I'm not even worthy to step down and unloose it. Oh, my. What a man. What a preacher. That's preaching, folks. That's preaching. Preaching's not how loud you get. Preaching's not how soft you get. Preaching is simply saying, there's one I know who's better than anything I've ever met in my life. And his shoes, I can't even bow down. I'm not even worthy to bow down and take them off his feet. And yet that mighty one has died in my place. I'm telling you, I love it when God shows up. When God shows up, I cry like a baby. I don't know if you're getting anything out of this, but I'm getting a whole lot out of it. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is worthy to be praised. This is what John's preaching. He's worthy. He's worthy. Thank God. He's worthy. Someday we're going to see Him. I'm going to see Him face to face. Oh, my glory. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, what a blessing. What a blessing. I'm telling you, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We're going to stop it right there. God, pour it on us. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You tonight. Help us, I pray. May Thy will be done. God, help people to respond. Lord God, thank You for passing by my heart. Thank You for speaking peace to me. And I pray tonight that You draw people to Yourself. Lord, You know my heart, and I know this is Your working in it. I don't want to lift man up. We're trying to lift You up. Help our church to be faithful in doing it. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been saved? I mean, do you really know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Do you really know without a doubt that heaven's your home? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you haven't, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you because of the purpose that John had of bearing witness of the light. Maybe you've been wasting time bearing witness of other things. God's spoken to you about filling your pockets full of gospel tracts as you leave tonight. And out and about this week, just bearing witness of the light, bearing witness, bearing witness, bearing witness of the light of the world in the schoolhouse, in the workplace, in the home. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher here. Maybe you're a bus captain. Maybe you're a deacon. Maybe you're a husband, a wife. God's speaking to you about just bringing the whole clan to the front and bowing down and saying, God, I just want you to know you're worthy. Thank you for your goodness to me. Let's exalt Christ tonight. Let's exalt the Lord. Let's lift him up. You know how you lift him up? One way you do it is you come and you thank him for what he's done in your life. Oh my, what would we be without him? Where would we be without him? I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but you come. If you need to be saved, you come. If you want to talk to the Lord about fulfilling your purpose of being a witness, you come. If you just want to come and say, God, help me from this point on to exalt you. Help me to exalt you, to lift you up. Let's do business with God. Let's all stand with our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, bless it. Help people to respond. Some have already responded. Help others to come. Thy will be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As Brother Gary sings, if God speaks to you, come on, let's exalt the Lord. Come on, come on now. Here he goes.
All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his Son for man to die, that he might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more, at God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore.
Sing it out.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
I want to do something. I want to change something up here. We're getting some information here. Let's turn to page 166. I think that's the number of it. I will praise him. Is that right, Brother Gary? I think I'm right. And let's sing that last verse together. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in one. And this is it. I will praise him. I want to challenge you to something. If you don't mean it, don't sing it. If you want to mouth it, whatever. But don't you sing it. If you mean it, then you know what John the Baptist was doing. John was saying, I'm not going to praise myself. I'm going to praise Jesus. And that's our life. I hope you see it. Let's sing it together, shall we?
Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three. Amen. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain.
She's playing through that softly. Here we have Ashley and Andy Fink. It's good to have the Finks with us. God bless them. And Ashley and Andy, both precious children, they have both trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've asked Jesus to come to their heart, and now they're going to heaven when they die. We're so excited for you all. No doubt about it. We've got a children's discipleship program that we'd like to get into your hands, okay? It'd be great for you to work through at home with them. And they want to come and be baptized. And so what's the pleasure of the church that we, on our next baptism, accept them? Brother Ira, a second,
Brother Scott, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Aye. Any opposed, shame on you. Amen. No doubt about it. Aren't you glad that the Lord's still saving people? Hey, I'll be honest with you. This service has energized my battery tonight. I needed this. The Lord knows how to show up when we need Him, doesn't He? Praise the Lord for it. Here's what I want to do. I'd like for Brother Gary and his wife, if they wouldn't mind, to go ahead and go downstairs. Brother John and his wife, I know Brother Bob's here. Everybody who's going to the Newcomers Fellowship, I want to give you all a head start. If you all want to go on downstairs, you can follow Brother Gary. Hope many of you will do this. Many of you will do this. You go ahead and go here in just a moment. We're going to sing this last verse one more time. I'm going to lead it from right here and all this. And this will be our closing prayer. And as we sing, if you're a newcomer, I want you to go ahead and be dismissed. Everybody else, if you wouldn't mind to sit and just bear it while we sing. And then as soon as we get done, you can be dismissed too, okay? I'd like to ask Daniel and Nathaniel, if you wouldn't mind just to go out in the lobby. They'll be here Wednesday night, but I realize some of you are scattered abroad. This may be the last time you get to speak to them, so you can shake their hands. Let's sing this last verse together, okay? Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in one. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Many of you come by and shake these precious kids' hands and this dear mother. God bless you. Hope to see you Wednesday night. Please, many of you come by and do this. Table captains, please remember the meeting right now, immediately right down here to my left. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Love you. If you need us, call us. Amen.